And there are a few deductions out there that could actually save you, some pretty serious coin. To talk a little bit about that this morning, Director of Tax Services for Online Trading Academy, it's Michael Adias on the Wake Up Call. And thanks for joining us, Michael. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, let's just start off. I guess that student loan interest, if it's paid by the mom and dad, how is that deductible?
It's deductible to the child, even if the child doesn't pay it. You see oftentimes situations where kid's out of school but hasn't found a job yet or found a job that doesn't pay a lot, can't really afford to pay the student loan interest. Or if your parents are paying it, you can still claim it. Your parents can't claim it because they're not liable for the debt. You can. So it's an overlooked deduction.
So in other words, mom and dad are paying the interest on your student loan, but you, as the student, can still write off what they're paying.
Correct.
Really? That's an interesting loophole. Okay, what are some other things that are fairly common?
Talking about job search. In today's day and age, people change jobs every 2 to 3 years. It's not like it used to be in our grandparents' generation. People work 30 years in the same place. And in doing so, you're incurring costs, like doing your resume, going to a headhunter, flying out to interviews, driving your car, different type of expenses that you have in order to look for a job. Those are all deductible. You can itemize your deductions and come to those job search expenses right there. It could be thousands of dollars a year. And by the way, you don't have to land a new job. It's not required.
What about if you have a job while you're doing that?
That's perfectly legal. I see. I have a client every year has job search expenses. You're always looking for a new job. And he does move every 2 or 3 years and actually gets better jobs every time.
Really? And have you ever, just said, so what's your secret?
I think he's just tenacious about finding that next job that pays him well. And that's his goal. I mean, inventing in an organization sometimes could be tough because they have a certain mindset of you and moving to a new place, a new fresh start.
When we start talking about these types of deductions, are these the kind of deductions that your average accountant is going to know about?
You know, that's a good question. And when you say average accountant, there's some accountants out there that are average in their performance, and they overlook things. It depends on who you're working with. A lot of accountants just look at you as a checklist. Okay, I did this, and that. They fail to ask two questions. I see another overlooked deduction that accountants fail to claim, which is what they charge their clients to prepare their tax returns. That's a deduction. And I see every time I look at it and I say, hey, Joe, where is what you paid last year for your account? It's not there. Oh, he didn't claim it. No, he didn't. Other things that accountants sometimes overlook is we talk about management fees for your retirement accounts or your brokerage accounts. Most brokerage firms will charge you 1%, maybe 2%. And that could be a lot of money, and they don't claim that. So average accounts could be sometimes what they are, average. And so you got to really find that right professional that's going to do the job and ask you the questions and take your time, even if you have to pay a little bit more.
So a lot of times you don't know if you got a good accountant until after the fact. Is there any way that you can, any tricks of the trade that you can kind of, filter out the bad ones before you go through with it?
Yeah, really, if you just ask them questions and you get referrals from people, that's the way to go about that. Or many accounts will be happy to give you a second opinion, complimentary, because they're thinking that they can sway you away from the old accountant, and they might be able to show you a few tricks that you're not doing right now. And that's, we do an online trading academy. A lot of times the clients come in, we do the interview process, and we look for, different things that they could have done, strategies that they fail to execute.
What do you think is about, like, for instance, TurboTax and things like that? I mean, are these kind of the kind of things that those software programs are going to typically pick up on or not?
Those software programs are good if you know what you're doing, and they're certainly good for the basic tax return. If somebody has just a W-2 to claim and nothing else, that's probably a good cheap solution to go about. But once your taxes get a little bit more complex and involved, we got maybe some rent properties, you may have a job that requires you to work from home, you may have a business, you may be trading the financial markets, then there are special rules that you really need to know the information about it. Otherwise, you're kind of taking a leap of faith with the question that TurboTax has. And I've seen many times people do stuff on TurboTax, and it's just atrocious, completely, you know, botched returns. And so you really have to be careful with that. But, yeah, it's a good solution for the simple tax returns.
Any other, you know, missed deductions that, people typically, you know, don't claim but could be?
Yes. Let's talk about sales tax. Certain states don't have income tax, so there's nothing really to build your itemized deduction. Or some states, their income tax is so low that you can actually claim your sales tax in exchange. So, for example, if you live in Nevada or you live in Texas or states like that, well, they don't have state income tax. You can claim your sales tax. And for specifically in years we have big purchases, like you purchase a car or something like that, where it could be thousands of dollars every year. That's a overlooked deduction right there. Also, if you had any legal fees associated with, you know, people that are divorced to pay alimony, or if you had legal fees associated with a lawsuit against your employer where you're retrieving some of money that's owed to you, those also could be a write-off for you.
So your alimony can be a write-off?
The alimony is definitely a write-off, right? That's for sure. It's a write-off, and it's income to your divorced spouse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's how it works. That's definitely a write-off. But also, if you had to pay an attorney specifically to fight that for that tax portion of it, that could be deductible. So you might pay your attorney $50,000, but $10,000 of that was associated with the tax portion of the whole deal. Well, that is deductible.
What about child support?
Child support is never deductible because the legislator assumes that you have to take care of your child anyway. I know it's a big newsflash to some people, but yes, you have to take care of your children. And so that portion is not deductible. And sometimes people get greedy and claim that as well, and they get hammered because when you claim it as alimony, if the other side, meaning your ex-spouse, didn't claim the exact same number, you're going to get an audit letter.
Hmm. Interesting. Michael, we appreciate you joining us on the wake-up call. Michael Adias, the Director of Tax Services for Online Trading Academy. Thanks for being with us, Michael.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. It is 6:49, News Radio, 1120 KPNW. I guess every year what you learn is get an accountant.
Really?
Find a good one. Yeah. Every time we have one of these guests on that talk about, you know, here's deductions that you're missing.
I feel like more and more I'm getting people that are, you know, doing the stuff themselves, getting the whatever, you know, TurboTax or something like that, because, you know, even people that are in the media or have, you know, kind of weird jobs where they can write certain things off, it allows for that. And you're not paying the crazy fees. But, I mean, if you want to be safe or lazy, definitely the way to go.